talking about hospital closures, because two hospital accident and emergency units in London have closed today. Hammersmith and Central Middlesex are being replaced with a 24-hour urgent care centre. It's a sort of walk-in centre. Patients requiring an ambulance will have to go to either St Mary's in Paddington, Northwick Park, Charing Cross or Ealing hospitals. However, Charing Cross and Ealing A&E features are also under review at the moment, but Northwick is about to open a £21 million A&E unit. There have been protests at both sites today over the closures. Now, I can understand when local communities hear about hospital closures. They're never going to go down well, are they? But sometimes even the medical experts feel that closures are necessary if new departments are opened up elsewhere. And it does sometimes mean that you have to travel a longer distance to a hospital. What I want to ask you is, if you've had a local A&E unit or a unit near to you close, has there ever been a point where you thought, well, actually, this does make sense. If they're going to open up a new unit or a specialist unit, even if it is further away, that does make some sense. Or is there this default reaction that any hospital closure, any GP surgery closure, is automatically bad news and must be resisted at all costs? It's an incredibly difficult one, and I think the whole consultation process in these situations could be handled much better, because people never seem to believe politicians or NHS administrators when they try and explain the reasons. I don't think there's anybody that just as a default reaction, it gets a kick out of closing a hospital. Why would anyone do that? But if you are told by all the experts, imagine you're a health minister and you have to make this decision. If you are told by all the experts, all the medical experts, everybody in the sort of administrative side as well, that this is a good thing for the long-term future of healthcare in a particular area, you would be mad not to go along with it, wouldn't you? Or do you think that all of these decisions are driven by finance? Because I think that's what a lot of people do think. And if you look at sort of some of the, I mean, there's another other demonstration taking place at the moment as well, in protest at closures in South London. But there's an interesting memo that's come to light today from a boss of a London NHS trust that he's shutting down the A&E department. The internal memo is titled "Finances." Well, Professor Jamil Mamet, who heads the Surgery and Cancer Division of the Imperial College Healthcare NHS Trust, says it's overspent by £1.8 million in July alone. And they say that they are going to have to close three beds to make finances meet. So sometimes when they close things, it is down to finances. 0345 6060 973. I don't just want to talk about these two units in West London that are closing, because there are lots of changes happening all over the country. So if it's happening near you, give me a call and tell me if you agree with the reasons that are being given for it. 0345 6060 973. And of course, we have the Health Secretary on later from 7. You can phone him and ask him yourself direct. But in the meantime, let's talk to the Labour MP for Hammersmith, Andy Slaughter. Andy, good to talk to you.
Hi, hello.
Hi. Now, just run through with us the reasons that are given for the closure of these two A&D units in your patch.
Well, the original reasons were given, and I think the truthful reasons that were given is, and I'm quoting here from the people who made the decision originally, that they would go bankrupt or literally run out of money if they didn't go ahead with these closures. This is the largest hospital closure program in the history of the NHS, and I don't think I can think of a day previously in the history of the NHS when two A&E units have closed on one day. And this is the, if you like, this is the easy, in inverted commas, part of the decision. The next part, over the next couple of years, is to demolish, downgrade two of the major hospitals in London, Ealing and Charing Cross. And I've got a very personal interest here, because both Hammersmith and Charing Cross are in my constituency.
But could you ever imagine a scenario where the Health Secretary, of whatever colour, would want to close a facility in your constituency and you would say, yeah, what a great idea, because I don't think any MP would do that?
Well, I think, as I say, that there was that little short burst of honesty at the beginning, and since then the waves have closed over, and it's all been for good clinical reasons. But And of course, with every lie, there's a tiny truth at the heart of it. The tiny truth at the heart of it is that for years, London Health has been changing. There has been more specialisation. There has been more concentration of services on individual sites. And, you know, we're not Luddites. We're not against that. The problem is that is being used as an excuse for this massive downgrading. Charing Cross Hospital, one of London's major hospitals, 360 inpatient beds down to 24. And everywhere is at capacity at the moment. People are waiting more than 4 hours in A&E. GPs are closing their lists. This is the difficulty. Mm. And you feel it's just a, you know, it's a red pencil decision. Because doing it properly is too difficult.
I mean, I have a sympathy with what you say about the cutting of the beds, but of course that policy has been going on for 15 or 20 years, where successive governments have wanted to cut the number of beds so people can be cared for in their own homes. I mean, to me, that doesn't really add up, I have to say, but it's not something that's just been done in the last few years, is it?
And it's also, I'm arguing myself here, that as surgical techniques get better, that you need less time to recuperate in hospital. Mm. I mean, you used to spend 10 days recovering from a hip replacement operation. Now, hopefully, you only spend 2 or 3, as long as you're fit enough to go home. And all that's great. That's fine. So I say at the root of this, there are some truths, but it's going to such an extent that there is no longer the capacity. I cannot say that my constituents will be safe in the future. That's my fear.
I mean,
or alternatively, that they're going to get a second class service. Because if you go to an urgent care centre, which is what is replacing the A&Es, it will be either staffed by nurses or by GPs, and they may be great practitioners, but neither do they necessarily have the training, nor do, more importantly, they have the backup. They don't have ITU, they don't have stroke units, they don't have emergency surgery, they don't have the overnight beds. I mean, you don't have to be Dr. Kildare to understand why that's a problem.
Well, I'm not sure that is a problem, because presumably you go to these walk-in centres. Yeah. I mean, it's not if you've been involved in a serious road accident, but if it's a lesser emergency. And also, when your constituents can go to Paddington, Northwick Park, Charing Cross or Ely. Now, people in rural areas don't have that choice. It's not as if there's not going to be an A&E facility within a relatively short distance.
You're right. And there are problems, don't get me wrong, there are problems because of traffic congestion and other things like that in terms of the time you take to reach.
Yeah,
the key problem in London, where you have, particularly in poor areas, and these hospitals are closing in poor areas, you have very low health outcomes. Jargon. You have lots of chronic health conditions, diabetes, things like that, which often need specialist care more than a GP can give. So we're neither talking about the minor minor injuries, nor are we talking about the road accident, plane crashes and things like that, which I think that they are still, you know, subject to resources taken care of. But in the middle, there's a great swathe of conditions where you do need some specialist medicine, and that is no longer going to be available unless either you travel and you wait a long time, and there's less of it available. That's the problem. That's why a lot of the population are going to be getting a second-class health service, I'm afraid. You know, I genuinely don't want to scaremonger about this. And if I thought that, when I do see good things happening, then I say that they're happening.
Yeah.
But this is a real crisis.
Okay. Andy, thank you very much indeed. That's Andy Slaughter, the Labour MP for Hammersmith, which, of course, is where two hospital A&E units have closed today. They are being replaced with 24-hour urgent care centres. And, of course, there are four A&E units not that far from...